Butterflies on the Moon. High on the topmost turret of the castle, Kropotkin, the court astronomer, gazed at the moon through his powerful telescope. Suddenly the words of Prince Azov rang in his ears. "Astronomer Kropotkin, you will find for me butterflies on the moon."
"But master,"
Kropotkin protested, his hands trembling,
"the moon is cold and dry and empty. Nothing lives."
"Enough," shouted the prince. "Do I not pay you 50 rubles a year for your services?"
"You do indeed, master."
And the old man bowed deeply to Azov. Kropotkin's family was large and hungry, and 50 rubles was treasure indeed.
"Astronomer Kropotkin, you will find for me butterflies on the moon," repeated the prince, and his sharp words darted into the cold night air like sparks from a crackling fire. His face twisted into a smile. "Tell me, have you visited the moon?"
"No, master, I have not."
"Then if you have not been to the moon," sneered Prince Azov, "how can you say there are no butterflies there? Eh, fool? Answer me that."
He glared at Kropotkin.
"In 1 month's time, my lady and I are holding a banquet in the hall below. There will be many honored guests, all eager to see the butterflies on the moon. So you have 1 month to find them."
That evening, Kropotkin's wife Anna looked at her husband with some concern. "You have been in the house 1 hour, and you have eaten nothing. Your soup is cold. Should I heat it on the stove?"
"No."
"Are you sickening for something, husband? These cold nights stargazing on the castle wall?"
"Leave me alone, woman. Natter, natter."
Ignoring his children, Natalia, Gregory, and Inessa, Kropotkin pushed his chair aside and sat staring into the fire.
"Gregory, Inessa, eat up," whispered Anna. "Your father is not well."
"I know what it is, mother,"
Natalia announced.
"I heard it from Vushtov, the footman's son. Father must find butterflies on the moon, or he will lose his job."
Every week, Natalia helped her father to clean and polish the great telescope. Usually, she loved the work. High above the world, with the wind blowing in her hair, her singing would tumble over the battlements, skipping far away into the valley. Down below in the fields, peasants would see the golden-haired Natalia. "There she goes again, like a songbird," they would say, and wave to her. But she was not happy this time. Silently, the telescope was taken to pieces. Silently, the lenses, as large as tabletops, were cleaned until their surfaces sparkled like glittering crystal. Suddenly came the sound of Prince Azov's footsteps.
"Astronomer Kropotkin, I have got news for you. My honored guests are thrilled at the thought of butterflies on the moon."
"But there are no butterflies there," Natalia interrupted, her heart hammering.
"Enough, girl," stormed Azov. "Do not address your prince in such a manner. Kropotkin, keep this vixen quiet."
The old man held his daughter's arm. Azov continued,
"This butterfly hunting of yours is becoming famous. And to mark so grand an occasion, the court orchestra will play."
The astronomer was wide-eyed at the prince's plans.
"But, master," he stammered.
"Kropotkin, not only will there be butterflies seen through the great telescope, but when the music plays, they will dance to it. And as a special treat, your wife and children will also be invited to look through the telescope."
Natalia could not sleep.
She tossed and turned. How could she help her father? Suddenly she sat up and smiled to herself. She crept out of bed and tiptoed downstairs. An hour later, she was back in bed. The same thing happened the next night, and the next. For 3 whole weeks, she toiled at her work. Then came the night before the banquet. Natalia's task was almost finished. The castle steps were freezing cold as Natalia climbed upwards to the great telescope, which was clothed in silver from the light of the full moon. She clutched her precious bundle. By special proclamation, Prince Azov declared a day's holiday. Beneath the castle walls, a gaily dressed crowd spread from the moat to the distant hills, eager to hear the latest news of the butterflies on the moon.
"I bet they will bite Kropotkin's nose," laughed one.
"Nest in his beard," said another.
"He'll lose his head as well as his job," said a third, "if he doesn't find them."
There was a deathly hush as Kropotkin swung the telescope towards the moon. With trembling fingers, he focused the huge lenses. In his wildest dreams, he had never seen such a sight. His heart drummed like 100 galloping horses. His mouth felt dry as he handed the great telescope over to the prince. His head shook in amazement. Could it really be?
Azov laughed with joy.
"Kropotkin, you old wizard, you've done it. Butterflies on the moon. Now, make them dance."
And he signaled to the orchestra.
And dance they did. Fluttering in the breeze. Swallowtails, red admirals, tortoise shells, all gorgeous oranges, blacks and blues.
Natalia held her breath. Only she knew the secret. The prince's honored guests were thrilled by the sight. Azov waved his hand to Anna and the children.
"Come and have a look. Your husband is indeed a miracle worker."
Anna, Gregory, and Inessa crowded round.
Then, disaster. Little Inessa pushed a button and the lens at the far end went spinning over the battlements, taking with it Natalia's paper butterflies, which she had taken 3 weeks to paint and cut out. The lens shattered into 1,000 pieces, and the paper butterflies were caught by the wind.
The prince's face turned black with fury, but the crowd roared with delight.
"See, see, the butterflies, they're going back to the moon."
And indeed, the wind was lifting them higher and higher into the air. The orchestra played on. Prince Azov leant grimly over the battlements. But at last, he burst out laughing.
"Astronomer Kropotkin, you have done me proud this night. Not only have you found me butterflies on the moon, you have brought them down to Earth," he roared. And all the honored guests cheered.
At Kropotkin's feet, a small piece of colored paper spun in the breeze. He picked up the paper butterfly and put it gently into Natalia's hand.
"Thank you, daughter."
And he kissed her. Then Kropotkin, Anna, Natalia, and the whole family danced and danced the night away.